Just forgot for a moment that Harp wasn't here. I was out having a cup of tea and having a chat to the boys out the back and realised they had to come back in. Sorry about that. Bit of a longer music intro. Adam White, Adam Romanaskis, and now Mark Stevens in the studios. I'm a bit puffed out.
As you went past there.
Well, I've spilt tea down the corridor and all sorts of things trying to get into the studio. How are you today?
Yeah, going
Mark?
Well. Great interview with Damien Cupido. Refreshing, I think. And we might do a bit of that, a few of the heroes heading into the finals of country footy, because that's what footy's all about, Whitey, in a place called Gagari, which is a dairy farming area. I think in the Kangaroos colours when I was up in the GB.
He does wear the Kangaroos colours.
And as he said, he's eating furniture at the moment. Chris Train. I'd never heard that one.
Because you voted on the Anzac Day medal the day that Cupido kicked five.
I think I might have given him the three votes.
Well, you wouldn't. That wouldn't be possible.
Hurdy had a
James
good one.
Hurd kicked four and had about 50 possessions that day.
Yeah, but I think Cupido was probably in front at one stage. I remember doing a story, I think, on his family came into the rooms. You know, one of those
He's from South Africa. Yeah.
So we did the whole South Africa sort of journey. So every now and then you remember a story or two, Whitey.
Remember, it was at that time where they were building the Ponsford stand.
Yeah.
And they painted the top of the goalpost red because of the sort of the white background of the construction site. You couldn't see the goals at the northern end. Do you remember that?
I do. I remember it was the old press box still, I think, that day. Remember the old press box in the members?
Yep.
Before it moved. So, great times. One of the memorable games. It's still the most memorable game I've covered in that environment was the Carlton-Essendon prelim.
99. Oh.
Yeah, sorry to bring that up, Rammer.
What'd you do that for?
Oh, that was extraordinary. Kudo kicking and Lance Whitnell kicking long bombs.
Lance played well that day.
Mm. Yeah, speaking of Carlton.
Where are we going?
Yes. Patrick Cripps is still on. It hasn't ended yet. This one could end in the High Court, or we could end up in Switzerland, the Geneva Convention or something. So the appeal's on, and you can understand why they're rolling the dice here. But it's a fine window of success, really, Whitey, because they now have to prove an error of law has occurred and the decision was unreasonable on the sanction, manifestly excessive. So that's 6 p.m. tonight. So history says it's going to be a tough one to get off. But my reading of it is the fact that it took so long, 40 minutes, to deliberate and make a call. It was probably a close call in the end. So why not give it a go? And they'll be trying to come at a different angle. Maybe the manifestly excessive line will come into it. But it's going to be hard to find any more new evidence, I would have thought. They've already used the handycam vision.
Carlton will have enough lawyers in their network that somebody would have something new.
Yep. They'll find something, but they were given an extension yesterday. It's normally midday, and they were given until 5 p.m. Apparently, one of their lawyers was busy on another job. So, a little bit controversial that they gave them an extra 5 hours, but all in the justice of footy. Whitey, if this was round 12, do you think Carlton would be doing this?
I reckon they might have.
Yeah, I reckon they might have.
Right, I think the timing of it, though, is added to it.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I mean, that's desperate times. So you want to have your best player out there when you need to win to make the finals.
The problem is, with Carlton, if they didn't do it, their supporters would be outraged that they didn't have a crack.
Mm.
So they have to do it. Yeah. What is it, 25 grand or something?
Yeah, so it'll be a night of drama, more live crosses down there at the tribunal.
You going down?
No, I won't be down there. I'll leave that one to probably Ayrton Woolley. He'll do some of his best work down there. So, but we don't have the drama anymore of the player coming out, Whitey, as you'd remember, with the cameras flashing and trying to get a shot of the player and his quick statement. So COVID's taken all that away, some of the drama out of footy. Speaking of COVID, flu symptoms, one of your clients too at Collingwood, Rammer, Jamie Elliott, Hoskin Elliott, Carmichael, the table tennis player, and McCreary missed training yesterday.
A lot of the forwards.
So Collingwood have had a lucky run in many ways, but that's a watching brief, I think, definitely on the Pies. And, of course, Brody Grundy. A lot of talk still around him. I mean, Max Gawn met with him. Gawn is basically saying that he'd be happy to play a lot more forward time just to get Brody Grundy in. And I wonder what Collingwood fans think of the fact they'd still be paying $300,000 of Grundy's wage. If you add that to Treloar, that's a lot of money they're forking out for players at other clubs.
Can Max go and play forward, Rammer?
Yeah, he can. But
effectively?
Yeah, he can. But I think he's a better ruckman.
I don't understand this one. Can you explain to me why Melbourne would be going down this path? I mean, they tried it with the Proust Gawn setup. I mean, Jackson, he's not quite that unicorn player, but he's proven.
Look at it like
particularly
this.
Last year, he could play forward with a bit of ruck.
What we need to do, and I'll give you a little challenge, Steve-O. Tell me tomorrow the ruck minutes that Luke Jackson has played this year in terms of the split. Mm-hmm. I know that's a bit tricky to
Champion find. Data will have that. Have we got a license with Champion Data here, Whitey?
I think so.
Yeah. We can do
that. We'll find the answer to that. But that's what we're talking about. Like, Max is not just going to go, oh, you know what, Brody, here you go. Go and have 75% of the ruck time.
Yep.
It's not going to work like that. So you got to, I think we've got to look at how many ruck minutes Luke Jackson is having each week. And then, well, is that going to be the same for Brody? More or less? How's it going to look?
I think Whitey's on the money. Gawn's a traditional ruckman. I think he does his best work when he's floating back, kick behind play, across half back. And it's his running power, getting to contest.
Correct.
He's not a forward. He's not going to lead out of the square. Often ruckmen just don't work forward. You think that, geez, that they'll be able to catch it. Remember Aaron Sanderlands?
Yep.
You'd think he'd be able to catch everything forward. He couldn't do it.
Nope.
So we had you're using, say, Darcy Cameron as that example. Now, Grundy would play probably, 80% ruck, Cameron 20% ruck?
Or more, 90%.
Maybe, yeah. And then Cameron's proven that he can play ruck if required. But Cameron's a competent forward. Gawn's not that sort of player. If he's going to leave Collingwood, he's got to go to a Giants, he's got to go to maybe Hawthorn, McAvoy's going, there's two that just spring to mind immediately. Someone where they need a number one ruckman.
I think you're underselling Ned Reeves a little bit. I think he's got something.
No, I agree with you, but
he needs help at the moment.
But what I mean is that I think Grundy's got to go to a club where he's going to be the number one ruckman, not the number two ruckman. Mm. I mean, if he's on close to $1 million a year, Brody Grundy, are you really going to go?
He's not a number two.
Are you really going to go to a club where you're going to be the number two ruckman? Why would you do that?
Correct.
Mm. Well, a bit to play.
You stay at Collingwood and you fight for the number one role again, almost, don't you?
And it's very strange.
Yeah, obviously, a good chat you had earlier, Rammer, with Ben Cunnington. Now, it was great that the speech he made yesterday, obviously, and it was fantastic the way that these clubs are doing the social media, I agree now. Just getting inside the clubs, Whitey?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
And we've got that carded up. I think that the Hour will find that very shortly. But the other interesting one, I think, is talking about behind paywalls, and our audio is behind a paywall at the moment. But behind a paywall, Foxtel, looks like, Whitey, with the negotiations, there's going to be some more games behind the wall. Now, if you're a footy fan, there's a chance that every Saturday that all the games will be behind a paywall, as in Foxtel only. No free-to-air footy on a Saturday.
So the Saturday, no Saturday night game.
Super Saturday on Fox.
Don't you pay for that anyway with your subscription?
Yeah, but if you're a person in the suburbs who hasn't got Fox and relies on the 7 coverage.
Yeah.
So your 7 games,
you can buy
Saturday
a game
night
for $5, say, for example.
No, it'll be Foxtel will have the exclusive all Saturday and Saturday night games. So 7, as it currently stands, you've got your two Saturday afternoon games, which are Fox, your Twilight game, which is Fox, and a Saturday night game that's Fox, but you get a 7 game.
Yeah, so the 7 game
will become Fox as well.
But you have to pay for that 7 game.
No, you have to have a Fox subscription.
No, there'll be no 7 game. There'll be no 7 game.
Right, okay.
So 7 will become the Friday night. I think Fox are looking
Friday
for more
night,
value.
Sunday.
Yeah, Fox are looking for more value at the moment. Sunday into the news on 7, Friday night.
So 7 will effectively have Friday night, Sunday afternoon, and maybe Thursday night.
Yes.
Or will Channel 9 have Thursday night?
But I think it's certainly going down the way that if you're used to watching sport on free-to-air, it's getting tougher.
Well, I think reading earlier in the week, the Channel 10 offer was underwhelming. With the Paramount Plus and how they wanted to do it. So the AFL, I think, were expecting a little bit more.
But Gill and whatever, they went to Hollywood to meet the Paramount people and they're in Beverly Hills, Whitey. Do you think that was
Do the Walk of Fame? Check the stars on the pavement?
There's a Mark Stevens star there, you know that? It was a star, yeah? Not for me, obviously, but in the 1920s, he's quite a good operator. But speaking of good operators, we have got the audio now. Ben Cunnington. This was fantastic. As Rama mentioned, Patch Adams introduced him. And we don't hear a lot from Ben Cunnington. We'll hear more from his dad, probably, than we've heard from him. But let's have a listen to yesterday.
You think you could probably finish up and be happy with that, but until it sort of gets taken away from you and you've got no control over it, you soon realise that you still love it. And I went through what I've had to go through, and without the support, I couldn't have got through. But I'm here now, hungry. I feel I've worked hard and in a position to hopefully help you boys out again. So, keen as ever.
So, yeah, you have an instant impact. He looks fit, doesn't he?
Yeah, he looks fantastic.
In a weird sort of way, yeah. Could this extend his career?
Possibly.
And Big Ben McAvoy, I mean, he's still playing good footy. I was a little bit surprised, I've got to say, too, Rama. And I know that you took the phone call managing him. Have you got any clients left? They're all sort of retiring and getting to the...
That's the idea.
Do you regenerate, though? You've got some draftees coming through?
Maybe I'm retiring.
Yeah, well, there's a scoop. I might tweet that one out. But Ben McAvoy as well, as you said, he was uncomfortable sitting in that chair in front of the players. He didn't really know how to handle it, which is his style. And again, the social media team, gee, they were up and about at Hawthorn.
It's been a hell of a ride, 15 years, last 9 years here. But it's time for me to hang the boots up, lads and some ladies in here. Yeah, I've thought about what to say here, but I really don't know. But I just wanted, obviously, you guys to hear it from me. It's not been easy, but I'm really content that it's my time to finish up. And yeah, I don't know. It's hard. I mean, you all heard me get a bit emotional on the weekend, and that was part of why, because I knew it was. Saying some of those things for the last time, so I just want to say thanks to the club, to Rob and Sam in particular for working through it with me.
Now I remember interviewing Ben McAvoy when he's in a tractor one day. I think he's from Myrtleford originally, is that right? Up in the northeast, Rama, up around the mountain district, bright sort of area. So now, so he has another farm.
He's near Hotham.
Yeah, so he's got another farm now that he
bought himself.
Yeah, so that's a long way from Melbourne too.
Yeah, well, that's Stall, outside Stall.
So he travels a lot, obviously, and he's the type of guy that'll just sort of disappear to the bush, do you think?
Well, he doesn't live there now. He doesn't drive from Stall to
Hawthorn.
No, but
he heads there quite often. No, but he's there quite a lot.
Well, he's got three kids, so he'll be there. They'll be organising schools for the kids over the next little period of time, and I imagine whatever grades they're in, they'll start next year.
Yeah, he's the type of guy that gets back at every opportunity.
Who will be Hawthorn's next captain?
I'd say Sicily.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that seems the most obvious choice.
But you got to look at it. It was a good choice, the Ben McAvoy, the transitional selection. Even that was a bit of a surprise at the time, Whitey, wasn't it, that they went down the big boy line?
Yeah, I agree.
Just thinking, is there a younger, is there a 24-year-old?
Well, that's why I asked the question, because sort of James has obviously done it. This year when Ben was out injured, Mitchell, O'Meara, they might sort of balk at that and go for a younger option. But this is the thing with Hawthorn. They've got a lot of good kids under the age of 20, 21, but there's a bit of a gap in that sort of hit zone. Sicily sort of stands out, doesn't he?
Well, I'm just having a quick little browse now. Is there that younger player that they think is ready to do that and take the team into the future for the next 7 or 8 years? Because how old is Sicily?
27, 28, I'd say.
Mm. You'd think it would be.
He seems the obvious one.
He looks. And just briefly, Rama, you'd know probably more about this, but it looks like Michael Hurley, he won't play this week in the AFL, but it looks like they're setting him up for what could be his farewell game in the final round, which is a fantastic comeback, because I remember the story when he did his hip at the time, and I heard it was serious, and I remember Johnny Ralph and a few of the journos said, I'll be back in a week or two. Well, it's been a long one. It was a bad one, and, you know, in hospital for a long time, and he was fearing more for his own welfare and life.
Yeah,
it was a life-threatening issue more than even getting back to footy, so to see him even back playing is extraordinary.
I hope that he gets the game. First and foremost, so that's a massive tick for him personally. But I also hope that he is there next year. in some capacity. Whether they can adjust, whether he goes back to the rookie list or whatever it may be, however they work it. Essendon, as it stands, have only got three players over 30. Hurley, Heppel and Andrew Phillips. They need experience there. They need wise heads down there.
Well, before we go to the break, Dean Vickerman will join us shortly from Melbourne United. That Dyson Heppel conversation that Ben Rutten had yesterday publicly, where he talked about, well, we want to keep Dyson. It doesn't appear that they're changing from the 1 year offer. And he said, well, you know, if Dyson doesn't owe us anything here at Essendon. If he goes to Gold Coast, he goes to Gold Coast. It was quite interesting for a coach to be talking like that before the end of the season on someone who is their captain.
Yeah, we're getting more mature with it, Whitey. We're talking about Grundy meeting people and whatever. It's more Americanized, do you think, that the way we're headed? But I think it's refreshing.
It's unusual when it's your captain that it's like, oh, well, if he goes to Gold Coast, we know he's talking to them. Like, I don't know. It just doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
Come on, Remo, what do you think about that?
They're neutralising the supporters. I think they're preparing people for the shift.
Have you ever heard a coach talk about the club captain the way that Ben did yesterday?
Not off the top of my head, no.
Imagine Sheed's talking about Terry Danaher like that, going somewhere?
Well, Terry Danaher in 92, I reckon it was. He played he played in the reserves grand final that year in the premiership with James Hurd and Joe Macedi and Mark McCurry and Dave Calthorpe. So, look, it happens. I think Heppel has still got some good football in front of him. It's just what Essendon are prepared to, or how long they're prepared to keep him for, how long they think he's got left in his body.
It's an interesting one, that one.
Well, thanks for your time, Whitey.
No worries, Mark. Thank you.
You've been fantastic.
I'm going to go and call Dean Vickerman. A lot happening in the Opals world and the United world.
Yeah, there's a bit of basketball coming up.
And we got Ed Richards, the feature interview of the day coming up.
Ed Richards.
Feature. We're calling it feature interviews now.
23 past 7, back with more after this.